Let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week is really a great time to reflect on the topic of building the house of the Lord. We're in a great season of opportunity, I believe. It's a time of great opportunity to see many people come to the Lord. And I want to encourage you to reach out to people, to be praying for people, to be looking for opportunities to share the good news of Messiah, and look for opportunities to invite people to come and worship with you here at the synagogue. It's a time of opportunity to build up the house of God and to build up the people of God spiritually as a community. As many people are returning to the Lord and becoming disciples of Messiah Yeshua, it's great to have a community that's ready to receive people of all ages and all backgrounds who want to be joined together. And it's also a great opportunity to build up the community of faith, the people of God, the Messianic synagogue here, which is a gathering place and a discipling place and a home place for the Messianic community. Now, when I think about what God has promised to do with the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, one of the things is clear. He wants to rebuild the Jewish people and to make as the center of life Messiah, so that we would learn to find, as Jewish people, our hope and our salvation in God's Messiah, Yeshua. And so this rebuilt nation is called, like Israel in times past, to make the house of God a real priority. When Israel was called back from dispersion, their first assignment was rebuild the house of God. When Israel was called out of Egypt, one of the first assignments was build the tabernacle, build a house for God. When Israel made it to the promised land, one of the first assignments was build the house of God. You remember even King David wanted so much to build the house. And yet because the Lord said, blood is on your hands, it was for his son Solomon to do, to fulfill the yearning that was in David's heart, so that one generation linked together, joined together with another generation, could fulfill the things that had been put in their hearts. In the same way, we are called to build the house of God and to understand what Yeshua has in mind for the house of God. Our job is not to go to Jerusalem and build another temple or to restore the blood sacrifices, which Yeshua has fulfilled in the most complete way possible. But we have another task, another assignment, and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, though their callings were different, Peter being called as an apostle to the Jews, Paul being called as apostle to the Gentiles, they had the same picture of what it meant to be those who build up the house of God. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And Peter's writing first to Jewish people, but it's in the Brit HaChadashah, so it's preserved in the record, in the apostolic record, for all people, all generations, not just Jews, but for all people who would turn to the Lord. It says this, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen and precious in God's sight, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah Yeshua. For it stands in Scripture, see, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who believes in him will never be put to shame. Now let's look at this carefully. Peter is saying Yeshua was the living stone. He was the cornerstone who was rejected, but he is the cornerstone, and the house of God is now built upon him and with him as the central point. Now, a cornerstone can be understood two ways. One is foundation stone, which means the foundation stone goes down and then the other stones are built upon it. And the other one is just the cornerstone itself, which is at a corner and provides the location for true building. So you can build plumb and square. You can identify where to build and how to build. And Yeshua is being described as the living stone. He is alive. But he was rejected by men, and Peter quotes that passage. But then he says, in the same way that Yeshua was a living stone, you also are living stones. Now, you become a living stone in two ways. One of them is this. Through repentance and faith, you get joined to the Lord, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and that rocky, stony heart is transformed. And God, by the Holy Spirit, changes you because of your faith in Messiah. He makes you into a new creation, and you become alive. You're not just a stone, you're a living stone. That's the individual side, but there is a corporate side, which Peter is talking about. And you become a living stone corporately when you're joined together with others. And you form together a house where God can be worshiped, where he can be served, and where he can be honored, and where his Spirit is welcome, and he can take up residence corporately. So one side is the individual. The other side is the corporate. Both go together, and neither is to be neglected. Don't try, as an American, to function totally independently. This is our great temptation, is to try to just make it on our own. But we're not called to do that. We're called to be joined together with him and with one another. We are called to be alive to God through repentance, faith, and the filling and refilling and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We're called to personally be little sanctuaries where God can live. But we're not to leave it at that. We're to be joined together. We being many are one body in Messiah. Messiah is the head. And, you know, he doesn't want to just be a head without a body. It's an ugly thought, isn't it? The headless horseman, the opposite of that is, the body. What is it? The head with no body. Well, Yeshua doesn't want to be the head without a body. He wants to express himself through us together. And so each of us is a part. Each of us has unique qualities and different responsibilities, different sensitivities, different sensibilities, different functions. But we all need each other. And it's important to understand this. If you are an eyeball, and Paul uses this metaphor, understand this, the eyeball cannot see if it's not joined to the rest of the body. Just being an organ will not help you. It's necessary to be joined together. So Peter is saying, you also, living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Now, this requires willingness. This requires work. This requires effort on our part. It requires attention. Being built together means we actually are willing to take our place in the wall, if you will, and to find our place and to be joined together with others. Now, it's tempting to try to do this on your own, but that's not your calling. That's not our calling. We are called to be corporate, to be an expression of the body of Messiah. We need one another in all of our differences. Now, verse 6, Peter quotes scripture, says, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in, this is what's interesting, not in it, in him. You see, the stone is not a regular stone. It is Messiah. Messiah is the living cornerstone. The one who puts their trust in him, even though he's been rejected by others. This one will never be put to shame. This is what Peter writes. Paul writes something similar to the Ephesians, who are struggling about their identity. Who are they? How do they fit in? He's writing to the Ephesians who were not Jews, and he's saying, you were far away, but now you have been brought into the commonwealth of Israel, and you had no hope, no covenant, no future, yet God has done a work of mercy and brought you together with Israel, and now you're part together, not meant to be on your own. Israel's not meant to be on their own. And the nations who have faith in Messiah are not meant to be on their own. We are meant to be part, again, of one body and joined together. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Messiah Yeshua himself is the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is fitted together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, remember how the original temple in Jerusalem was built. The stones were cut and dressed elsewhere, and then they were brought to the temple and assembled. There is a work of shaping and construction that God does in other places in your life. But the purpose of that work is so that you can be fitted in together. You are not meant to live in the quarry. You are meant to be hewn from the quarry. So don't try to live on your own, because Paul is writing to these Ephesians and he's saying the whole building is fitted together. Now look around at some of the stones in the room and understand this, they're alive to God. And in God's eyes, they're worthy and they're valuable. And he's saying, I want to fit you together. I want to fit you together. I want to join you. I want to make a place where I can dwell. In him. Say that with me. In him. In him, the whole building's fit together. What unites us? Him. He unites us. But don't we all think the same? Are you kidding? Where there are two Jews, there are three opinions. Where there's a messianic congregation, there are more opinions than people. Because a lot of people say, well, on one hand, but on the other hand, in him, the whole building is fitted together and grows. Isn't that interesting? Grows. Say that one word with me, grows. The building grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And this is why we're unique. We're living stones. We're not just regular stones. We actually grow. We grow spiritually. We grow in the fruit of the Spirit, in ministry, in character. Verse 22, and in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God in his Spirit. Do you see the vision that Paul has? Same vision that Peter has. This is part of the messianic vision that we would be built together. And there are times when it's hard to be built together. If you have the joy of sitting next to your spouse, smile at him or her and say, we're being built together. We're being built together. And it takes work, doesn't it? There's joy. And there's work to it. We're being built together into a dwelling place for God in his Spirit. This is the vision, that we are being built together so that God can dwell together with us, not just in us individually, but in us together. And that requires that we know and love each other, appreciate each other with our diversity. Now, in this week's Torah portion, we read about the great willingness of the people to participate in the building of the house of the Lord. The Lord wanted a house, a place to dwell with his people, and the people wanted the Lord. It was a perfect combination. God wanted the people, and the people wanted God, and that's why they were generous. Let's read about this. It's a reprise, in a sense, of what we read earlier. In recent weeks, Exodus 35, starting in verse 4. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and he said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. He said this, take from among you a terumah offering. That's a special offering from the top and the best. Take from among you a terumah offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as a terumah offering to the Lord. And then in the next few verses, there are all these very specific things. The gold, the silver, bronze, the blue, the purple, and scarlet that were being used. There's red mentioned, but I don't think orange is mentioned. I like orange, but it's not on the design color scheme here. There are badger skins, acacia wood, and so forth. And then verse 10 says something I think that's worth taking note of. All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. So who's to do the work? Gifted artisans. But what about the schlocky artisans? They get to sit this one out. They get to watch. Maybe they can carry things. Maybe they can be apprenticed at a certain level. But they're not going to do the real work. All who are gifted artisans. Isn't that interesting? And then verse 21. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and they brought earrings, nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, everyone who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And then look at verse 25. All the women who were gifted artisans participated. Verse 26. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom participated. So we've got this picture now that everyone whose heart was stirred, everyone whose spirit was willing, men and women together were building the house of the Lord. It was a community effort. And this is important because sometimes people step back and they say, the work is for someone else. Or they say, I can't participate now, so I will never participate. But that was not the attitude of these people. They tried to find their place. Then Exodus 36, verses 6 and 7. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing because the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, it was too much. They had more than enough. Now, these verses and the chapters in this week's Torah portion shed light. They help us understand our journey together, Beth Israel's journey. More than 10 years ago, the scripture from Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, came alive to us. It said this, let them make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And we began to look for a new sanctuary. We had a sanctuary, and it was a great place for that time and for that season. But the Lord was showing us that it's another sanctuary that he has in mind. And so we could see the vision that the Holy Spirit had given to us. It was a sanctuary with classrooms. There was space for hospitality and onegs. There were trees and outdoor areas, grassy places. And I remember when we came over to this space once to pray, Daniel Belasov came with us, and he was praying, and he walked up on the deck behind the Shalom Center. Before we had really done anything, we were just in the prayer phase. And he said, this is kind of weird because I had a dream recently. And I saw this lake that the synagogue was going to be on. And now I'm seeing this lake. And, what do you make of that? I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows how to speak and how to instill in us. Now, a few of us looked at about 100 places over the span of 5 years. And some of you know the story. In 2007, 13 of us went to Budapest, Hungary, and to several places in the Netherlands to get some vision for the feel and the kind of place that God had for us. And we came back to Jacksonville, and we looked. And I think it was 3 years later, December 2010, We had seen like 100 places. None was quite good enough. And then the Holy Spirit unveiled this place, which he had been reserving for us. So it took us some time to negotiate terms, and then we had to spend months renovating the first three buildings. And over the years, there have been terumah offerings, these free will offerings, and we were able to pay for a significant part of the renovation with those funds. But a project like this, it's massive, and we continue to need free will offerings from everyone whose hearts were moved. And some people were able to give large amounts, and some people brought their widow's mites. And God worked and put all of it together, and it was February 24th and 25th, 2012, when we held the first two services in the sanctuary. And it was a miracle. It was a joyous time. And even despite the giving, we didn't have sufficient funds to finish all the work in the building, which was started on the building next door. And from 2012 to 17, many people put their hands to work on the building next door to do what we could to help make that. And then, you know, just a few weeks ago, March 11th, 2017, we had our Purim spiel. We had a grand opening of the Shalom Center and the cafe next door. What a journey it's been. The Lord has given us more than we asked for and more than we imagined. This beautiful sanctuary, the wonderful sound system, the projection system. I remember when the architect came up with this idea for projector space, you know, so that we didn't need screens that dropped down and rolled up. And when there's nothing on the screen, it just sort of disappears into the architecture, and then there it is. It's beautiful. And aren't you glad that we have projector ministries that work to give us lyrics and beautiful things to look at? You know, Chris Hernandez is on the computer today running the projector. Thank you, Chris. Let's thank the Lord for him. We've got furniture, 6 classrooms, a nursery for the kids, a bookstore, meeting rooms, office space, office equipment, open spaces, hospitality rooms, 3 kitchen spaces, 10 bathrooms, a cafe, grass. We have grass. We have geese from Canada that regularly visit us, some ducks as well. We have outdoor spaces, a lake, decks overlooking the lake, a big parking lot that's usually empty because we meet when all the other places are not meeting, and they work when we're not here. And then we've got considerate neighbors and so much more. And so many people have given generously for the building up of the synagogue, and we're so grateful for the giving and all the Lord has given us. But we read in Exodus 36 that all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses. This is verse 4, and they said, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded us to do." And so that's when Moses gave the commandment and said, okay, don't anyone bring any more stuff. It's too much. So friends, we're not yet able to say that. Be restrained from giving for the work the Lord has given us. We're not able to say that, but we've made so great progress. But we know as we continue to grow as a community and as a congregation, and as we continue to move forward, that there will continue to be a need from those whose hearts are stirred, who want to participate in all that we're doing. Now, those of you who weren't able to give in 2011 to build the sanctuary and the synagogue, and those who weren't able to participate in the Take a Seat campaign for the Shalom Center still have an opportunity to give in order to bring all these projects to further completion and to replace things that inevitably need replacing. Rabbi Uri and I were at the Jewish Center this week for a meeting with the FBI and just the general Jewish community. And we were looking at the back of every chair in the sanctuary at the Jewish Center. Every chair has a nameplate on the back of it. And we were discussing, does this mean this is where that person sits every time? I don't think so. This is just the name of the person who contributed and is recognized for their donation. So they had their Take a Seat campaign. We had our Take a Seat campaign for the Shalom Center. So there's still opportunity. And we read in Exodus 35 that Moses spoke to the congregation and he said, "This thing which the Lord commanded, take from among you a terumah offering to the Lord." Who is it to? It's to the Lord. "And whoever's of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, bronze, etc." So let's pray together for those whose hearts are moved to bring their offerings to the Lord. And at the same time, we're excited about all the opportunities for fellowship and for celebration and hospitality and outreach at the Shalom Center. So remember, you can be involved in the Shalom Center and the onegs at the Shalom Center. Just want to remind you of simple things. You can become a team leader for onegs and receive training about how to run a team and organize a group that puts on an oneg and does the setup, the food preparation, the serving, and the cleanup. And you can also be part of one of those teams. And you can also be a sponsor for the onegs. So those are ways that you can participate. Now, I know for many people, everything is spiritual and nothing is practical. But I want to tell you, God is the God of heaven and earth. And if you try to eat a spiritual bagel, it will never satisfy you. If you try to have spiritual matzah, it's not going to make a difference for you. But I want to encourage you to understand this, that God reveals himself in this time-space world that we live in real and practical ways. And through our fellowship together, through our worship together, we actually become a spiritual house. But we become a spiritual house that has physical presence. I want you to understand this. You see, there have been many throughout history who thought the spiritual ideal is far removed, this Platonic ideal or an Aristotelian perfection is out there and it's far beyond, but it's not part of the material world and all things material are less than. But the God of heaven and earth doesn't think like that. And this is why he came down from heaven and took on human body and walked among us to experience the very world that we live in. It's why from the very beginning we read that God created the heavens and the earth and his spirit was hovering on the face of the earth. But after he creates man, he starts having fellowship with man and the sound of the Lord walking in the garden could be heard. The presence of the Lord could be experienced. And Adam even hid from the Lord because he knew the Lord was near. At the same time, he knew he was naked. And so it was real to him. It wasn't just spiritual. So I want to encourage you. Use spiritual gifts for real things, for practical things. When you give your tithes and you give offerings and terumah offerings, you're like melding the spiritual and the practical and physical together regarding your finances and your resources. When you take Shabbat and you celebrate the holidays that God has given for us, you do the same thing with time. You sanctify time in a material way in a material world. When you gather together and you serve together in the congregation, serving by worship, serving in the ministries in the congregation, you're uniting the spiritual and the real world together. Now, super spiritual people never do that. They just stay in the realm of the ether out there. And I want you to know it's not the holy ether, right? It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is also called, the word for spirit, both in Hebrew and in Greek, means wind, but it also means breath. And breath only exists in a living soul, in a living person. No life, no breath. No breath, no life. The two depend on each other. And when the Spirit of God is in you and he is the source of your being, you know what? He animates you for good and for service to him. So what a wonderful time that we're in, where we can talk about spiritual gifts, we can talk about building the house of the Lord, and at the same time, we can go next door and we can cut bagels and drink coffee and have fellowship together, and we can worship and we can fellowship and we can reach out to others. And you can do the same thing when you celebrate Passover in your home with your family and friends this year. You unite the spiritual and the practical together. The God of heaven and earth, he's the one we serve. The God who comes down and walks among us, he's the one we serve. The God who rose from the dead, whose physical body was killed, but his physical body was raised from the dead. And you also will be raised in his likeness. So I want to just encourage you, bring these things together, contemplate them, spend time studying the scriptures, spend time praying, and I know this, God will build you up and he will build us together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're a living stone. You're the chief cornerstone. And though you were rejected and we will be rejected by others because we choose to be with you, we find full acceptance in you is more than enough. And Lord, we pray that we can not only love you, but love one another. And I pray that that love and appreciation for one another would grow strong and that we would grow up and be built together, and that together we would be a house for the Spirit of God. Let it be fulfilled in our lifetime. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. And would you please rise? If you are by yourself, just shuffle a little bit. Hello, Rabbi. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.